Little bit earlier. Take your bulletins, turn to the inner fold. There's quite a number of verses that we're going to be using outside of 1 John chapter 4. We've been doing a series called Soaring, and the title of this morning's message is Trusting the God of Love. Let's ask his help. Lord, we do believe that you love us, and because you love us, you want us to live in the light and confidence of your word. I pray that it might be your word that comes to our hearts and stirs us and heals us and helps us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you about two little girls and a pussycat. The two little girls were aged about 3 and 4, and the pussycat lived at grandma's house. Now, this cat was an unusually large cat, and to the two little girls, it seemed enormous. They were terrified of Tinkerbell. As the car would arrive, pull up in the drive at grandma's house, the little girls would ask, "Is Tinkerbell home?" Even if grandpa put Tinkerbell on his lap, those two little girls were still afraid. The one thing that allayed their fears, however, was if Dad put Tinkerbell on his lap, and then they would come up and gingerly pat the cat. What made the difference? It was not power. Grandpa was obviously as big as Dad. No, the difference was love. They knew that their daddy loved them, but they were still learning of Grandpa's love because they didn't get to see Grandpa all that much, all that often. Love transformed a frightening situation for those two little girls. And love ought to make all the difference to the tough circumstances that we face in life. If we are still afraid, if we are still angry, or if we are still in despair, could it be that we're still learning that the God of heaven loves us? Are we really sure that he is a God of love? And are we sure that he loves us in particular? Don't we need to settle this? Just as those little girls were safe when Tinkerbell was on Grandpa's lap, we need to know that we are safe in the circumstances of life, for they are held, those circumstances are held by the Father's hand. If we could take a picture of the God that is in your mind and project it up onto this screen here, we could know a lot about you. We could predict your future, how you will handle the difficulties and emergencies of life. We could talk about your stability and your joy. What the scripture does is take our mental picture of God, whatever that might be, and corrects it. This book is God's explanation of himself, and it forces us to hold a correct picture of God in our minds. In particular, for today, it forces us to have a correct picture of God's love, and that picture ought to be clear and in focus and in full color for us. So please allow the scripture to give you a true picture of God's love to carry in your heart and in your mind. I think we can do this in two stages. The first stage in forming a true picture of God's love to carry in our hearts is knowing the truth of God's love. Knowing the truth of God's love. Now, as we've been going through this series, we've been using Stop Think cards. And those cards are available for you on an A4 sheet at the back if you'd like to pick those up after the service. One of the Stop Think cards says, "He will love me always." And on that card, there are two verses. The first verse is Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness I have drawn you.'" I want you to know God's love for you. I want you to feel God's love for you, and I want you to be secure in that love. So let's explore the truth of God's love. First, God is love. God is love. Love is God's essence. We read in our Bibles in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." God is love. This is the deepest possible expression of God's character. It is part of, God's love is part of God's goodness. God can never do anything that is contrary to his love. He always acts in love to us. In fact, we do not know what real love is until we start to experience and understand God's love for us. He is love. We find out what love is like by the way that God relates to us. God is love. Second, God's love is forever. God's love is forever. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness I have drawn you." God is speaking to his people. God is speaking, when I say his people, I mean those whom he has chosen to love in a special way. The second part of that verse says, "Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you." Let me say, no man chooses God of himself. A man can only choose God when he has been drawn to God with loving kindness. Verse 3, the second part says, "Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you." God sets his love on a man or woman, boy or girl, and then he draws those people to himself. At that point, as God draws them with loving kindness, they may not realize what he is doing. All they know is that someone has spoken to them about Christ, or for some reason they've started to read the scriptures, or someone has invited them to church. God is drawing them to himself with loving kindness. And once God sets his love on a person, that love is forever. The first part of Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love." The love is forever. Third, God's love is fixed. Now, if God's love is forever, of course it is going to be fixed. Nothing is going to change that. But God assures his people further by a contract of love, by a promise of love, a covenant of love with his people. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7 says, "The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath," circle that word oath, "which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." It was an oath, a promise, a covenant of love. But that is also true. It wasn't just true of God's people Israel back then. It is also true of God's people today. Because God loves each and every one of his people, he has made a covenant of love with us. We remember that promise of love every time we celebrate the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25 it says, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood." Promise, oath, assurance. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Firstly, God's love is forever. Secondly, God has promised his love for us. It is fixed. And thirdly, God's love is extravagant, abundant. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, God explains to Moses what he, God, is like. He says of himself, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers under the children and the children's children under the third and fourth generation. And Psalm 103 in verse 8 adds, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." So we see God is said to have abundant mercy. God is said to have abundant grace. God is said to have abundant forgiveness because all of those things flow out of His abundant love. Further, God's abundance in His love is expressed by giving to His children, giving good gifts to His children. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read, "Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." There is an abundance to God's love. And fourth, God's love is pure. It is pure. It is forever. It is fixed. It is abundant. And it is pure. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God's love always comes through a holy, pure channel, for God is holy. His love cannot ever be anything other than holy, and thus God's motives for love are also pure. When He loves us, it is for our benefit. God is always good. Now, here on planet Earth, we are immersed in an atmosphere of nitrogen and oxygen. But as Christians, we're also immersed in a reality of God's love, pure and overflowing, never withdrawn and promised to us. We cannot be removed from the atmosphere of God's love any more than we can be removed from the atmosphere of Earth whilst we live here. Yet we do not always feel God's love, do we? God further assures us of His love by describing it in terms of human relationships. God's love is like a father's love. Jesus told a story of a rebellious son. That's you and me. The father still loved that rebellious son in the story, didn't he? We read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. The son says, "I will arise and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." God's love is like a father's love, only better. God's love is also like a mother's love, only better. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, we read, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you, says the Lord." Can a mother neglect the child of her love? Yes, it happens sometimes. But that is not possible with God. God's love is better than a father's love. And God's love is better than a mother's love. And God's love is like a husband's love, only better. The whole book of Hosea is about a husband's love. I don't know whether you know the story. Hosea married a lady by the name of Gomer. But unfortunately, Gomer proved to be an unfaithful wife. But it got worse than that because Gomer became a prostitute. But it got worse than that because Gomer sold herself as a slave prostitute. And then she was put up for sale in the slave market. This still happens today, doesn't it? So she's put up for sale in the slave market, and we read in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 2. Hosea speaking, and he says, "So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley." 15 shekels of silver, by the way, was half price. Slave was normally 30 shekels of silver. "And I said to her, 'You shall stay with me many days, and you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be toward you.'" Gomer had become absolutely worthless, going at half price. But such was Hosea's covenant love for her that he took her back. Of course, not only did he take her back, he bought her back. And yet God's promise of love for his people is even better than this husband's love for his wife. Do you feel loved yet? Actually, God has redeemed us just as Hosea redeemed Gomer to himself. The price that God paid for us was not 15 shekels of silver. The price that God paid for us was the death of his own son on the cross. He loves you. God has proved his love for you at Calvary. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That is, the Son satisfied the righteous wrath of God against sin. Jesus took that wrath for us. That's how much God loved us. And Paul rejoices in this redemption, saying in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." If you know God, you are loved. I want you to know the truth of God's love for you today, Christian. Shannon was an unusual girl. She had been raised in a very wealthy home where she had her own full-time nanny. I mean full-time. And that nanny did everything for her, like everything. So when Shannon went off to uni, having found share accommodation nearby, she had some tough times coming. You see, Shannon had no life skills. She'd never learned to make a cup of tea for herself. She'd never learned to curl her own hair. She thought other people around her were there for her. She was not being arrogant in this. It was just what she was used to. So it's not surprising that no flatmate could ever meet her expectations of what a good flatmate would be. In God's care, Shannon was a Christian, and so was the flatmate who shared accommodation with her that year. That flatmate took Shannon under her wings, doing for her at first, but also giving her life skills to do for herself. That flatmate made Shannon try. Like Shannon, we also have self-centered expectations of what a loving God might do for us. But like that flatmate, God will push hard times on us so that we will grow. We see good as A, B, and C. God, who sees the ultimate good, gives us X, Y, and Z. Because he loves us. Because he wants the best for us. When God allows things we don't expect from a loving God, we've got to say, stop, think. God loves me always. Hasn't God said in Jeremiah 31 and verse 1, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I have drawn you. We must argue ourselves back to reality. For if God does really love us, we don't have to worry. If God really does love us, we don't have to use anger as a way of controlling a situation. We can leave our cause with a loving God and the circumstances in His hands. And if God really does love us, we have a future. Knowing that God loves us dispels anxiety and controlling anger and despair. Knowing the truth of God's love is healing, stabilizing in our lives. There is more in Scripture on God's love than any other aspect of His being. Yet when we get into trouble, isn't it God's love the first thing that we begin to doubt? Listen. After Calvary, it should ever be a blasphemy that God does not love His people. After Calvary, it should ever be a blasphemy that God does not love me. Know the truth of God's love. The second stage in forming a picture of God's love to carry in our minds is believing the truth. Believing the truth of God's love. First knowing the truth of God's love and now believing the truth of God's love. The picture of God's love has been taken. We've given you that picture from the Scriptures. A snapshot of reality. Now we've got to develop that picture in our hearts. First, God loves me despite what I am. God loves you despite what you are. God loves me despite what I am. Go back over the page to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7. Listen what this says about Israel. The Lord did not set His love on you, Israel, nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. And because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yes, that's right. It's not only true of Israel, it's true of us. God simply chose to love us. We were not wise or mighty that God should choose us. We were not rich or powerful that God should choose us. We were not beautiful or friendly toward God that He should want us. In fact, whilst we were His enemies, God chose to love us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." If God has chosen to love us despite what we are, if indeed He has set His abundant, permanent love on us, then in this perfect love, you can never have God love you more than He already does. And He will never love you less than He already does. It is perfect love. There is security in that love. We can't earn more than perfect love. And we can't fall from perfect love, for we are held by that love. Therefore, when we serve the Lord, we don't serve Him to get us, to get Him to love us more. We serve God out of our love for Him. I knew an old man who, no matter how much he came to church, no matter how often he came to prayer meeting, and he did every week, no matter how much good he tried to do, he never felt that God loved him. He just couldn't believe that God really loved him. If you are the Lord's, He has set His love on you. Believe it. Praise Him for it. And allow that feeling of God's love to become real to you. Unlike that old man, we don't work for God's love. We work because we are loved and we want to express our love for Him. Yeah, I know we don't deserve it, but believe He loves us. Second, God loves me despite the circumstances. When difficult circumstances come, we wonder about God's love for us. We must believe God loves us despite the circumstances. When we start to doubt God's love, we've got to say, stop, think. The second verse on this card that says, God loves me always, is Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. It's also on your sheets. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or trials or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, no circumstance in heaven or earth is able to separate us from the love of God. No created being is able to separate me from the love of God. God loves me despite those circumstances that I'm going through. God loves me in those circumstances that I'm going through. God's love, in fact, enables me to go through the circumstances and to use those circumstances for His glory. God has allowed the circumstances in my life because He loves me. God's love is always for my benefit. You say, but I can't see any good coming out of this particular set of circumstances. Trust Him to bring the good out of them. And trust Him in the circumstances. And He will bring that good out in His own time. It may be weeks. It may be years. It may be decades. But God has a good plan because He loves us and He is working that plan out in our lives. Always. He loves me. Always. Nothing can separate me from His love. And Romans 8 and verse 28 says something of that good plan. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, that is in eternity past, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is, God planned from the beginning that we be like His Son. That is the good that God is wanting to bring out. There may be other good things too, but the primary good is that we become like His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these He also justified, counted as right through the blood of Christ. These, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. If Jesus comes back, every one of us who know Him will be glorified in an instant. And when we die and it's absent from the body, present with the Lord, we will be glorified in that instant also. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Richard writes, I never forget Bow Wow, a dog that Randy, one of my sons, adopted when he was young. Bow Wow was Randy's most precious possession. He had other toys, many of them more expensive, but none was so loved as Bow Wow. Bow Wow was hugged and dragged everywhere, and in time he became incredibly dirty. Cleaning was a major problem because you couldn't get Bow Wow away from the boy. Washing just made things worse. All Bow Wow's stuffing came out. And in the end, he was just a bundle of sticky, dirty rags. But my, how he was loved. We are God's rag dogs. Although we have been damaged and dirtied by sin, to him we are precious beyond measure. He looks at you and me and he says, "You are mine. You are mine always. I will never let you go. Nothing can take you away from me." And he draws us to himself and he loves us always. When the picture of a loving God develops in our hearts, it will be life-changing. First, the love of God removes fear. John explains the love of God impacting us in this way in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Now, of course, those verses are in the context of coming judgment, but the principle is there that love casts out fear. The one who knows and believes God's love for them will not be anxious in the circumstances of life. When anxiety does come, that fear can be allayed by using those stop think cards. They're just a tool to get us to focus on God's love for us. Similarly, the one who knows that God loves them and believes that in their heart will not despair. For there is always hope in God's love. And the one who knows and believes God loves them does not have to control the situation with anger. God has a good plan. He loves me and he will work out the circumstances for my good. I can trust him. I want you to be aware of God's love for you and to trust the God of love. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we're aware of God's love for us, we'll find God sufficient. We'll find contentment in his love. If we're afraid of the cat, we don't really understand the one who's holding it. Indeed, as Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." If we will trust the God of love, the weights that hold us back, weights like guilt and anger and despair and anxiety, will drop from us. And this is how blessed we will be. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Learn these verses. Learn the verses on this card. God has said to me of old, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate me from his love." I want you to be trusting the God of love. Let's pray together. Lord, we can only weep in response to such an abundant, generous love that you would love us who have slapped you in the face and gone our own way and determined not to hear. What mercy, what grace is upon us that you would draw us back to yourself and provide a way that we can have a love relationship with you. We are awed by this, and we say, Lord, here are our lives. We want to live for you. We want to love you, and we want to help other people to love you too. Lord, take these prayers of our hearts that are being offered to you right now. Thank you that they're made acceptable in your sight through the Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, we make ourselves your bond slave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.